Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm okay. I feel like I'm coming down with something, actually.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a little tiny bit sniffly. No, it's not. Don't worry. It's not that.
It's not that one.
It's not typical of that. Maybe new symptoms are being born inside me, and everyone will... Everyone who catches the C virus will be small and enjoy Star Wars Battlefront 2 as the new symptoms.
That's it. If you've got those two symptoms, then you're getting down with the sickness.
Absolutely. How are you? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I didn't actually mention, because we recorded some stuff yesterday, immediately after, pretty much, I recovered from, I think, some kind of food poisoning.
Oh, no.
And I didn't even mention it because it was really weird. I woke up feeling terrible and I needed to run to the toilet for the Domino's reason, not like the sick reason.
Right.
And I didn't have Domino's though. That's the mystery. I didn't even have Domino's.
God, how did you get food poisoning and not have Domino's?
Sense. It's like getting the C virus and enjoying Star Wars Battlefront 2. They're intrinsically linked. Mm. And so it was very weird. And then I just sort of lay there in a daze and then it was gone. And then I was feeling fine again.
It's funny, actually, because the same thing happened to me some weeks ago. We'd just eaten some vegan sausages. We'd had sausage sandwiches at lunchtime. We treated ourselves. And I thought, at the time, when it was in the bathroom, I was like, oh man, we obviously didn't cook those sausages properly or something. And I was like, hang on, no, they were vegan.
They're made of plants.
Yeah, exactly.
How does that work?
So I couldn't work out what had caused it. And then I was absolutely fine after an unpleasant, session, really.
How strange.
With that intrinsically linked with each other, much playing Battlefront 2 and having C virus.
Yes.
You and me were it's like string theory, quantum entanglement.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Peter. That's exactly what it's like.
Right, yeah.
Bang on. If we keep saying that there's a link between Battlefront and getting COVID, I think that start disseminating that information, and we could get in a lot of trouble.
We could.
However, this is our diarrhea podcast. Mm. Welcome. Thank you for listening. It is actually about video games. I don't know if you could tell. Actually, there's nothing we've mentioned about video games so far, so you probably couldn't tell. But it is actually a video game podcast, I promise.
We did mention how Battlefront 2 definitely gives you coronavirus.
That's true. No, that is true. We did mention Battlefront 2. Mm. There we go. People should have known. I shouldn't even have to clarify, but in case I do, this is a video game podcast, and we get sponsored by a brand new company each and every week who let us bring the show to you for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting.
It is. That's very true. This week, Ben is the ad reader of today's sponsor. Ben, who is giving us money this week?
This week, we are getting money from Little Big Planet Fitness.
Okay.
Little Big Planet Fitness.
Oh, I see. I was thinking about Little Big Planet games. And
that's silly.
Trying to find some sort of... You know, as though there's a Little Big Planet game that's recently come out called Little Big Planet Litness, and that you'd done a clever thing there. Of course, you've not done a clever thing.
No,
it's just
it's
a
real.
genuine, it's a
yeah,
real
I don't
thing.
Even have to. Yeah.
Linked Little with Big. Planet Fitness.
Planet Fitness, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So this is completely, it's not related to the game.
No, no.
Of the same name at all. It's the first gym that separates its customers by height.
Right.
So there's a portion of the gym for people under 5.5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And all the equipment slightly lower down, and you know, it's got all the same weights that you can use, because you know you don't want to. There's no discriminating there.
No,
it's just more size appropriate for the person that wants to use it. Yeah,
right.
And on the other side, you've got the big part of the gym, which is for the tall boys and tall girls and tall others and people who just want to, you know, get absolutely stacked and ripped, but perhaps are on the taller side of the height spectrum, you know?
Need higher bars and longer rowing machines.
You need bigger stairs.
Yeah.
More space in your locker, you know?
True.
Longer benches. Perhaps a slightly bigger shower.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff that's accommodated in the Little Big Planet Fitness, which is, there's one opening in Newcastle today!
Oh, wow. Fantastic news.
Yeah.
Are we going to be involved in the opening ceremony?
Well, we'll see.
Oh, okay.
When I tell you that it's not real.
Oh, what? I've already put my shirt and tie on.
Well, the thing is, you've already got, but as we've discussed, you've already got the C-virus because you like Star Wars Battlefront 2. So theoretically, you could just go out into public and use the gym and not care about getting ill.
Oh, yeah, that's how it works, isn't it?
Because
if you've got coronavirus, that's when you're allowed to go outside and mix with the people, because you can't possibly catch it from them.
Because you can't get ill, so there's no risk to you anymore.
Yeah, off you go, everyone.
Obviously, we are joking.
We are joking there.
Don't go out
if you've got symptoms.
Don't go out at all if you can help it.
No.
Full stop.
But certainly not. If you get a test, and that's it.
Get a test. This we're actually sponsored by getting a test from the NHS, and also our wonderful patrons, Peter. They're our real sponsors, as they are each and every week. Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. Donate, I don't know, $1, I suppose, if you want. There's more money that you can give, and that's totally up to you. Different tiers, different rewards. But $1 will get you access to the podcast question post. I normally post it on a Tuesday and get questions in time for a Thursday recording. But the past 3 weeks, we've been doing it a day early because we've had other stuff on. So,
is that right? Have we done that for 3 weeks straight now?
Yeah.
God, I didn't realise.
Yeah, we have.
Wow.
This week it's a what's it called?
What are they called? Sleepover stream.
Sleepover stream. So our Thursdays are quite busy on those days. The last week I was off on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And the week before, there was another reason that I can't remember.
Oh. Okay.
But I'm fairly sure we did that then as well.
Either way,
it usually goes out on a Tuesday and you can ask questions there. But do go and check on Monday, just in case, because you can submit a question for this podcast. And we'll talk about the first question in just a second when Peter asks,
Ben, where are we walking this week?
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Maybe we are walking through a Little Big Planet Fitness.
Oh, is it just a gym?
Just a gym, yeah.
Okay, we're walking. James, we're walking through a gym.
We're
not walking through James.
We're walking through James. Okay.
We're walking through a Jamesnasium.
Yes. Okay, fantastic. Sounds good.
Perfect.
Maybe we'll have been, maybe by the end of the podcast, we'll be ripped on the picture.
Can you imagine?
We've been in the gym for an hour.
Way too complicated, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm not expecting Jim to make it look like we get stacked. We've got a question here from Victoria Pennington. Thank you, Tori. Hello, boys. It's that time of year again, and at time of recording, it's Thanksgiving in the US. What are you thankful for in 2020? Have a lovely day. Oh, goodness me, what a question.
Well, in a broader sense, Peter,
yeah,
I'm still alive and I haven't gotten sick.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate that none of my family have gotten sick as well.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandparents locked themselves down in March and still haven't gone anywhere.
Oh, bless them. Yeah, I've written video game related Thanksgivings, but also I've put, yeah, I'm healthy. My family and friends are all healthy. Thank goodness. And I mean, I say I'm healthy. I've got a cold, clearly, but you know,
oh,
in the grand scheme of I know, I can't really complain, can I? And I'm not going to. But yeah, so that's very good. Something that we should be grateful for. Something that other people can't all say. Mm-hmm. But what about, you know, this is a video game podcast.
It is.
What are we thankful for, video game wise? I mean, I'm sure we're both thankful for and excited about the new generation, of course. That's probably the biggest video game event of the year and has brought a lot of happiness to a lot of people. But kind of speaking on more a few more specific things, I'm really thankful for Crash Bandicoot 4. I picked that game specifically not because it's necessarily my game of the year or, you know, my favorite game of the year or the best game of the year or whatever, but it's probably the most significant release of the year to me because, you know, I'm a big fan of the series and, you know, it has wider implications that maybe one day there'll be a Crash 5 and the series has, you know, finally got a new lease of life and there might be a Spyro 4 one day, you know, it might be the next project from Vicarious or Beenox or the other one, Toys for Bob. So that's been a good that's a good sign going forward for my PS1 mascot revamp series. I'm glad that, talking about my other favorite game, Beyond Good and Evil hasn't been cancelled yet.
Oh,
and
no, it still hasn't, has it?
No, it's on it's sort of constantly getting beaten up by like various news stories and problems at Ubisoft, but it's still going to the point where it's got that Netflix movie deal, which, again, you know, we'll actually see if that ever happens, but it seems to be getting, you know, attention and multimedia projects, which is exciting for me. So that's something I'm excited for. Mm. And there's now an Assassin's Creed game set in a time period that I'm interested in actually playing again because I've not played one of those for a long time. So that's something I'm looking forward to. I'm currently playing, as we'll find out in the next section, I'm currently playing Miles Morales, but I'm really trying to just get through it now because I want to play AC Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All very exciting things. What about you, Ben?
Very exciting things. Yeah, I've got one thing written down, and that is that I've finally gotten the remakes that matter most to me.
Yeah.
I was very excited to obviously get Spyro in 2018. That was hugely exciting. Mm-hmm. Not obviously quite as big of a fan of all of the Spyro games as you are, but 3 was very near and dear to my heart. So I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. But I have been gazing over the fence quite jealously for some time now at the quality and of the Crash remake that everyone was super excited about. People were obviously very excited about the Tony Hawk's remake, although I only ever really played the second one and I haven't picked up the remake yet. Destroy All Humans, miraculously, did appeal to some people.
So Medieval,
good
as well.
For them. Medieval, yeah. And this year, I got not only Final Fantasy VII Remake, which
course.
I was pretty cold on to begin with, but ended up absolutely loving. And now I've got Demon's Souls as well, which was announced this year.
Yeah.
So two in 1 year is not bad. I'm pretty satisfied with those. I know it raises a larger question that we've definitely talked about on the show before, and I think we still get questions about it from time to time about what's the word that I'm looking for? The influx, perhaps? The saturation. The oversaturation of remakes and remasters. And whether or not that's a good thing for creativity and so on. But that's been an issue, I think, that's just sort of been present in the film industry for decades.
Yeah,
and I think there's still great new stuff coming out of the cinema. Well, not currently, but you know what I mean. So I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, as long as they haven't got Naughty Dog working on a remake or, you know, I'm trying to think of another studio. let's think of one. Come on, help me out.
Bethesda, Arcane,
Bethesda, Obsidian. As long as they're not working on remakes, then I'm happy. You know, there's definitely a gap in the market for your Toys for Bob,
CD Projekt Red,
for CD Projekt Red and Bluepoint to be doing all the remakes.
Yeah.
So I'm not too fussed about the larger implications, but I am very grateful for getting very competent and nice remakes that put their own spin on the original game.
Yeah, I had to get CD Projekt in there, given that when I tried to think of a studio, my mind immediately went to Bethesda. You know, Bethesda, acclaimed and definitely not made loads of mistakes recently, studio.
They're perfect.
They're perfect, yeah.
Every game just works. So
it does, yeah.
That's that. Well, Peter, speaking of games that we played, I think it's time for another section.
Oh, I think it is too. It's the game, it's the section, it's the section where we talk about the games that we have been present tense playing. Ooh. It's called What We Play In.
It's What We Play In time. Peter, the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S are finally out.
Mm-hmm.
We've been playing them. What have you been playing on them?
I've only played one game on my PlayStation 5 so far. I started it and I was tempted to also play, you know, maybe Assassin's Creed or maybe something else at the same time. But I thought, no. Just don't have all your... Don't eat all your chickens in one basket, I believe, is
the phrase, yes.
The idiom that I'm looking for there. So I've been playing, as I mentioned earlier, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales. And goodness me, I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. We have, of course, done a Quipscope on that, and we've done Quipscopes on the games that I'm sure Ben is about to talk about, so you can check those out on the channel. But just to sort of add to those thoughts... Goodness me, it's a lot of fun just to swing around and like beat people up, and it looks great. I think my TV definitely doesn't help. There's nothing wrong with my TV, by the way. It's just like very average. But when I copied my footage onto my computer to do the edit for the Quipscope, I was like, oh yeah, this is actually quite, you know, quite sharp looking. This is nice. So, you know, it looks very good. It's nice to kind of have a different, just a different story, a different set of characters, a whole new bunch of, content. You know, I think it would have been easy for them to just do another Peter Parker chapter and either bring out some enemies that we've already fought and have them escape again from the raft, or, you know, maybe like throw in a couple of other Rogues Gallery characters, but fortunately they've decided no, we're going to go with Miles Morales, and we've got, you know, a whole new squad of people to get to know and enjoyed like a whole new story, a whole new set of mechanics as well available for you that I think really they do add to the game, certainly. I mentioned in the Quipscope that, like, when you're going around looking for collectibles on your map, it's not necessarily just a case of, like, oh, I'll go to this location and pick it up. You know, now sometimes you have to do a little mini puzzle to get it, which I think is a really nice idea. It just adds a little bit of an extra dimension to that. It's just thoroughly enjoying it. And I don't want to finish it. So I'm going around and doing a lot of side missions and, you know, the crimes that just happen as you're swinging around. I always stop and deal with those because I didn't tend to do all of that stuff with the sort of the main game, the original game. But I kind of want to pad this one out a little bit.
I want to make this moment last.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah. But that's all I've been playing for now. Probably next thing I'll play when I've done this is quickly blast through Astro's Playroom before I move on to something big. What about you, Ben? What have you been playing?
Well, before the console arrived last week, I fit in one last game of Warzone, which we won.
Hooray. Oh, brilliant.
And now, obviously, it's on PS5 anyway, so I can carry on playing that. And I did play a game of that last night. Just one, though. Just the one game, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, mainly, I've been playing Demon's Souls. Played the, for want of a better term, the ever-loving flip out of it.
Yes.
And I have done all of the things. I got the Platinum Trophy. I'm tempted to start a new game on the... what's it called? I can't remember the exact term, but where it flips everything horizontally. Because in that mode, you get to pick up... So they're called ceramic coins.
Oh,
and it
okay.
was discovered what was behind that secret new door.
Yes.
that people found, and it's an armor set that's exclusive to this remake. So I'm tempted to do a run where I try and get that armor set, but I'm not entirely sure. So we'll see if I can be asked. But outside of that, which obviously is amazing, and again, as Peter said, there's a quipscope all about my thoughts on Demon's Souls. Played Astro's Playroom a bit more last night. I'm taking it slow and getting all the collectibles I can as I go through. A really delightful tour through PlayStation memory lane, down PlayStation memory lane, I should say. All the trinkets and doodads and gadgets, and you can look at the high res models of them and rotate them around. It makes very, very clever use of the controller with the sounds working in tandem with the vibration and the adaptive triggers. It's very clever. Like, really, really impressive. So enjoying that thoroughly. And I bought Sackboy, Sackboy's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
I haven't started that yet.
That's on my list for sure.
But my current plan is finish off Astro's Playroom, hop into Bugsnax, keep playing some Demon's Souls, and then get stuck into Sackboy. So that's my horizon currently.
Yeah, that's basically the same as mine outside of what I've said. Yeah, Astro, then Assassin's Creed probably, and then Bugsnax and Sackboy are my fourth and fifth probably. So how exciting. I think I'm trying to remember whether I said in the last podcast, or if it's happened since then, that I finished the original Spider-Man. I don't know if I mentioned that last time. You know, that's the game I've been playing recently in the past few episodes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, before my PS5 arrived, I did finish the main story. I think it may have been just after we recorded the podcast or something. But yeah, so there we go. That's the other game I've been playing. The other bit of Spider-Man.
And that was Spider-Man PS4.
Yeah, that was on PS4. Yeah.
What did you think? Because you've not finished it before, right?
No, I've not. That was the first time I finished it. I thought it was really good. Especially the last sort of third of the game, I really enjoyed. I do think, and I've found this with Miles Morales as well, actually, that I still think there's like maybe a little bit too much, not too much combat, but I think the combat sequences take a long time. So I don't get daunted by the number of enemies when I walk into an area in terms of, oh, will I be able to do this? But I kind of think, God, this is going to take ages now. You know, you walk into a room or a rooftop or something, and there's like 12 people there, and some of them have got shields, or, you know, there's like a big guy who's going to take like twice as much stuff. And it's like, oh, well, you know, this is fine. And it looks great. It always looks great when you're fighting in that game. Like, I never get bored of that at all. So it's only a minor complaint. But, you know, I did get a bit bogged down in that. But then I found that in, like, the last act of the sort of the original game, God, really enjoyed that. Yeah. I mean, I can probably be kind of spoilery at this point, given it's been out for a couple of years. But, yeah, it was nice to... you know, the Doc Ock story I thought was really cool, the way they handled that. And I've never heard of what was it called, Mr. Negative, is that his name?
Yes.
I wasn't really aware of him before this game. I'm assuming he is from the Rogues Gallery. So that was all new to me, and that was interesting. I don't know if they innovated and took a bit of creative license on that, and how much of it was rooted in the comics and his other appearances in Spider-Man media. But yeah, that was all, he was a new character to me. So that was a lot of fun as well, just to kind of learn his backstory and how it ties in with the Osborns. And yeah, I'm looking forward to a proper Spider-Man 2 already. So I've not even finished Miles Morales yet. I'm hoping for a sequel, but yeah, it was really good.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. We got another question here, Peter. This is from Transnosaurus Hex.
Mm-hmm.
Who asks, hi BB and Peepo.
Hello.
3 weeks ago, a little into lockdown, I thought I'd treat myself to Subnautica. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then, boom, my 26-hour save corrupted, cloud save and all. I was devastated. But it could have been worse. When my PS4 hard drive died, I lost an 80-hour Persona save. So my question, have either of you lost a save file to a game you enjoy? How long was it? Did you go back to the game or write it off? Love the content as usual. Thanks for keeping us going through these lockdowns. Much love to both of you and the Walrus Clan.
Oh, well, that's very, very much love to you too.
Yeah.
I have lost save files over the years and for games that I enjoy. But I was trying to think of one that's, you know, a kind of a devastating one where I lost hours and hours of of stuff. And I think I've been fairly fortunate in that regard. Like, if I go through all my favorite games in my head, all the games that I've, you know, sunk a lot of time into, you know, like Skyrim or Minecraft, or I played a lot of Orcs Must Die at uni, I don't think I've ever had any issues with those. So that was good. The one that I could think of, though, goes way back to the PS1 days. I 100%ed Tekken 3, and that's not so easy to do. So you have to run through arcade mode with every character, so you have to get all of their endings. They've got like ending, like what they called FMV cutscenes. And as you complete the arcade mode with characters, you unlock more characters, so it sort of adds to your to-do list. Then there was the Tekken Force mode, which is where you play a sort of side-on beat-em-up with the Tekken character, so that's super fun. You have to go through that 4 times, and each time you go through it, you unlock a key. And then finally, when you get to the end of, I think, your 5th run, you then fight Dr. Boskonovich, who's this really weird character in Tekken. He's like a scientist in a lab coat, an old man, and he's constantly crouching. And he, like, falls over on the ground and stuff, and he does a lot of his attacks from, like, just lying down on the floor. So he's a real, like, pain in the ass to actually attack, because he's, like, down on the floor all the time. He's a really strange character. So you then unlock him if you complete Tekken Force mode. And, of course, there's Tekken Ball mode, which is the volleyball.
Of course, yeah.
And that is, you unlock Gon, who is from like a manga or something. He's this little orange dinosaur who's also tiny. So there's a whole lot to do there. I got all the way through, did everything I could possibly do, and then one day my memory card corrupted, or like it got wiped. Oh, there was just nothing on it. Fortunately, I had 2 memory cards, and that happened to be one that had hardly anything on it. I had my Tekken 3 save, and then like a couple of other games that I'd not, you know, sunk loads and loads of time into. So it wasn't totally devastating, but like the main thing was losing all the characters. It didn't matter to me that I'd lost the save file that said 100% on it, kind of thing. Like I didn't care that like I'd lost that progress, but it bothered me that my roster had suddenly been sliced in half, you know.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, that was a bit devastating. Other than that, I certainly can't think of any recent ones. I think I had a glitch with Battlefront 1 where lots of people logged in after an update, and it had lost their progress and maybe wouldn't even let you play at all, and you'd lost all your weapons and unlocks and stuff. But fortunately, I think they released a patch for that within a week or two, and it sort of reverted everything back, and you got everything added back to your account. But yeah, I've not really been stung too badly with games that I love. Have you?
Yes, I have. I've mentioned it in passing a couple of times, but I think the biggest sort of culprit of my sadness for losing save data is definitely Pokemon Crystal.
Yeah.
Which of course was the sort of refinement of Gold and Silver that the Pokemon Company often release, or Nintendo, I should say, often release a little while after their 2 games at once strategy. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Pokemon Crystal, I really, really loved that game a lot. I think it was the first, or it may have been one of the first 2 games that were actually for Game Boy Color, in terms of having that little, you know, that had the plastic cartridges, had the little bump on the back, so they couldn't fit in the original Game Boy.
Yeah.
So it was one of the first Pokemon games to have that. I think maybe Pokemon Pinball or something else also had it. But I played that for maybe 300 hours.
Oh, God.
It was over the course of about 5 or 6 years. And given that last episode when we talked about getting my Pokedex finally.
Hmm.
And how I often restarted games in Pokemon and started from scratch and stuff. This was a rarity for me to keep one save file going for so long. And I completed the Pokemon League sort of, you know, dozens and dozens of times, and my starter, Chikorita, which was by this point a Meganium or a Meganium, not really sure how to pronounce it. I managed to get it up to level 100 just by training it, you know, which takes a long ass time.
Yeah.
And I would sort of put it down for quite long periods of time and then pick it back up again. But at one point, I was on holiday with a French family in France. I was staying with some people in France, and I took two game. This is how cool I was. I took two Game Boy Colors with me, a link cable, a copy of one of the original Pokemon games, Red or Blue, and Crystal. And I just spent many hours transferring Pokemon over that I couldn't get. And it was extremely cool, and I'm sure they thought I was a sane and normal person, you know, staying in France, and it was really sunny, and it was my summer holidays, and I was like, no, I'm going to sit inside and trade Pokemon to myself. And I eventually got up to 235 or 6 Pokemon out of 250.
Ooh,
I got really, really close, and it just took... You know, it wasn't, as I said, it wasn't like a concentrated effort to get this, you know, in a short period of time. It was just something I dabbled in for years and years and years and years. And then one day I went to start it up and the battery in the cartridge had run out and my save file was gone.
And that
was it. That was the end of my Pokemon Crystal adventure. And it was very sad. F in the chat.
Oh, God. That's terrible news.
All those Pokemon, Peter, died, gone.
They all died instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All dead forever. Very
and some
sad.
Of them you moved over there just to die there as well. So
yes, yeah, they got
to
sent
blame.
To their death. Mm. I think that was also the one where I had a Scyther that I traded while holding the Metal Coat item, and it evolves into Scizor, which is just the coolest Scyther. I traded it to my friend on loan, you know, like a football club.
Yeah.
And he started a new game, and it was gone forever.
Oh, no.
He killed it. He killed my Scizor. So, mainly Pokemon Crystal has brought me a great deal of grief.
Yeah. Oh, sorry for your loss.
Thank you. It's okay. I'm over it now.
Well, it's time for a section here where we talk about strange things that have happened. And I'm just going to reach for my prop.
I happen to have
laminated paper here.
Wow, You went from having no paper to having laminated paper, which I can't tell, is that better or worse?
I don't know if it's better or worse, but I just thought... I mean, I've also got normal paper, but I just noticed that I've got a laminated sheet of paper nearby. So I thought, why not take... I think it's better. I'm going to say better. Because it means, you know, if the news is really weird, I can cry with laughter or sadness, and
that's
my tears
true.
Won't get all over my newspapers, as it were.
Yes.
It's time for a weird section.
Yeah.
It's called Weird Laminated News.
Weird Laminated, oh my goodness.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It's weird laminated news time. Time for some weird video game news that's laminated. Peter, what have you got?
I have got a weird news story right here. Let me just unlock my mobile phone because it's a really high-tech session today. Not only do we have laminated paper, but I'm reading the news from my phone, which I don't normally do. Right, here we go. It's from Kotaku, but it's not by Luke Plunkett, our unofficial Weird News correspondent. It's by Zach Zvesen, or Zvesen, Zvesen. Mm. Fans think this strange road in Virginia is connected to GTA 6. And then there's a screenshot of Google Images or Google Earth or something of a road, and it's just a bit of a zigzaggy road with like two hairpin bends in it, okay? And it's like in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
So here we go. Middle Mountain Trail is a quiet dirt road located in the middle of nowhere in Virginia, but with nothing but trees surrounding it. But according to some Grand Theft Auto fans, it might be a clue connected to GTA 6, the long-rumored sequel to one of the best-selling games of all time. I don't know why I read that so weirdly. Late last week, Rockstar dropped a small teaser for the next GTA Online update. I think it's... they've added a new heist or something. I think I saw the trailer the other day.
Okay.
There wasn't much in the teaser, but eagle-eyed fans spotted what appeared to be GPS coordinates at the bottom of the video. There's then a screenshot in the article. It says, at the bottom of this screen, you can see the coordinates. So it's a sort of, looks like a high-tech kind of infrared camera looking at a house. And there's also sorts of like digital graphics and motion sensors all around the sort of like HUD, and then right at the bottom of the screen there's some numbers, and they are north by west coordinates by the looks of it. So when they punched the numbers into Google Maps, they got a dirt road that, get this, seems to be forming the shape of VI, the Roman numeral for 6.
Wow.
GTA fans on Reddit and Twitter quickly began freaking out. Was this a hint about GTA 6, a clue left by Rockstar for dedicated fans to find, or just a coincidence? Kotaku contacted Rockstar about the coordinates, but did not hear back in time for publication. The article does go on, but let me describe to you to what extent this looks like a V and an I. Of course, the letters VI, if you write them out, would be separated by a small amount of space. This is not. So it's V, and then the top of the I is connected to the top of the V, if you think it's a VI. But equally, that could just be a Z or a backwards capital N, if you imagine it. It's just a downward angle, an upward angle, and a downward angle. It's just two hairpin bends. But apparently it's VI, everyone. That's what it could be.
That's what it's got to be that.
Yeah. Fans are trying to piece together this strange mystery by themselves. Many are convinced that the shape of the road is too perfect to be a random coincidence. I'll admit, it's very strange how much the road looks like VI. Furthermore, Rockstar knows how dedicated its fans can be. It would be strange for the developer to just add some random numbers to a teaser without some reason behind it. I do admit that that's probably true, but... I don't know. All that said, would Rockstar really use a teaser for a GTA Online update to tease GTA 6? Also, what's actually being teased? Seems unlikely the next GTA game will be set in a version of the Virginia backwards. It's possible that Rockstar is just trolling GTA fans, desperate for information about GTA 6. I'm usually pretty quick to dismiss folks hunting for clues to GTA 6 in everything Rockstar releases, as often they amount to nothing. But I'm not sure if I can totally write off this weird clue.
That's very strange. So there's a dirt road that looks like it might be a 6.
Well, yeah, apparently. But, I mean, I can send you the image. I guess, yeah. I mean, looking at it, I suppose it sort of could be. But, you know, at the same time, I'm really not convinced, only in so much as it could easily be a Z or a mirrored N or just a road, you know. And also, why would they pick that road? There must be millions of roads around the world that have a double hairpin bend in them like that, so they could have picked one maybe closer to the area where the game is going to be set. I don't think they're likely to set a GTA game in just the back roads of Virginia, surely.
Probably not. Do you have that photo? Can I see it?
I'm just getting it now, yeah. It was because it was on my phone. I'm having to... Here we go.
Okay.
Send that to you. Oh, wow, that's a Facebook Messenger link.
I've got it.
Link.
Okay. I've got it. Oh, yeah, no.
No. I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
No, it's more like a Harry Potter lightning scar, isn't it?
Yeah, it does look
like a lightning bolt.
Yeah, that's terrible. What is wrong with people?
It's not terrible, Ben. GTA 6 confirmed. It's coming out.
Sorry, you're right. They're not just going to keep adding updates for GTA Online and never release another GTA game. What are you talking about?
Yeah. God, it's ridiculous. But
it's ridiculous.
Hey, if this got you excited and you enjoyed hearing about this on social media or whatever, you do you. That's fine.
That's fine. It's not a clue, though.
No, it's not.
It's fine.
Boy, are we going to look silly when it turns out that GTA 6 is set in Virginia in the middle of nowhere with no city to explore. But
we're going to look really silly when someone goes to that road and finds loads of copies of GTA 6 completed.
Oh my God, imagine.
Ready to play.
Which sort of reminds me, incidentally, I'll just quickly tell you the headline. The other news story I nearly brought along is that someone's already playing Cyberpunk. Their copy seems to have been shipped out really early, and they did a 20-minute stream of the opening, which is pretty crazy to think that
I did see that some copies had got out there already.
Yeah. So there you go. It's being played early. Wow. Weird me back, Ben.
I shall. This weird news comes courtesy of Nathan Dean Brown at Zombie Slur on Twitter.
Ah, okay. Thank you, Nathan.
And this is news from The Verge. Mm-hmm. And Bjorn Steven, I think, is the author's name. Okay. Bud Light made a video game console that also cools two beers.
Cools two beers, wow.
Yeah.
You think it would warm them up.
Bud Light, the beer brand produced by Anheuser-Busch, is that it? I don't know. Has created a video game console. It's called the BL6, and yes, it will keep two of your beers cold. It has 16 gigabytes of memory and 6 games, including Tekken 7 and Soul Calibur 6.
Wow.
It has a built-in Asus projector. It has the form factor of a 6-pack of beer. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not sure why this exists. I'm not mad at it, though. I love drinking beer as much as this reads like it was written by an alien.
Yeah.
I love to drink the beer as much as the next person. And while I don't usually consume Bud Light, I do have an appreciation for booze companies doing weird video game stunts. My previous favourite entrant in this category was Miller Lite Controller, which was a can of beer you could game with.
Miller Lite? A controller. Which
Miller,
is all right.
Or Miller Lite.
So that's okay.
But the problem with these devices is that they're impossible to get. You can't even find a You can't even find a place to cop a controller. Jesus, man.
What?
Stop with the thesaurus nonsense. Just write it. And Bud Light's BL6 is currently going for more than $1,000 at auction. Oh. Beer companies, if you're reading this, please make more dumb stuff like this. It's good for morale, even if I can never seem to get my hands on them. He then says, also a suggestion, if I may, next time make a console that cools more than two beers at a time. Gamers need fuel. Who wrote this?
I don't think it was written by an alien. I think it was written by the actual toads from the Budweiser
advert.
Yeah, bullfrogs or whatever they are.
God, it just this reads like a person who's trying very hard to talk about how much they like beer.
I drink beer. Gamers need fuel. And it takes more than two beers.
Listen, I like to drink the alcohol as much as the next alcohol drinking person.
Listen, I have sex with my girlfriend all the time. But anyway, to the article.
It does. It sounds an awful lot like someone who's compensating for something.
Mm.
And I don't know. I can't work out what it is. But listen, I like nothing more than my favourite beer companies doing beer things with video games. But video games can be cool. So how about more beers?
Yeah. Bud, send me free beer because I talked about your console. Please.
I don't want any Bud Light.
No, I don't.
Disgusting swill. Get it out of here.
Give me
that Tesco pear cider, son. You know, they stopped putting it in plastic wrap and you can get it in a nice little cardboard, whatever the flip it is, little cardboard box.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So it's actually recyclable now. Yeah, I know. Very exciting. Very exciting.
It's time for question three, Ben. This is from Brian K.
No, it's not. It's not. That's my mistake. Sorry. I've updated it on my end because it's my question to read, so I thought I'd get in there before you, but sadly not. No, that Brian Cahill was the person who asked the question in this position last week.
I was going to say, because I was about to say Cahill, well, I was about to say Cahill, and then I was sort of stopping myself, and I was like, oh man, he told us last week how to pronounce his name, and I've already forgotten, but I'm glad to hear that it... I mean, if only he'd come in a little bit sooner and I'd not gone as far as K, because what if it's Cahill? You know, I still said it wrong, even though...
You did still say it wrong, even though it's not even Brian's turn this week.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
We've got a question from someone else.
This is from Like a Glove. Sorry, okay. Like a Glove.
Sorry.
I copied the question and then forgot to put the name in, and I saw it a minute ago and thought, that can't be right, can it? Like a Glove asks, I'm listening through...
Hello?
I'm listening through the entire catalogue of Podiots again, and back to episode 2 where you discussed the BAFTA live stream. Oh. You mentioned a few video games that you had to discuss as esteemed video game professionals that you hadn't actually played. Cuphead, Wolfenstein, aka Kicking Nazis Simulator, Horizon Zero Dawn, to name a few. Two questions. Have you gotten around to playing any of the games you pretended to know about on the live stream? And two, are there any other games that were either really popular, groundbreaking, or held in high regard that you've never gotten around to playing? I'll admit, I've never played any of the Batman games and only experienced the groundbreaking David Cage games vicariously through your live streams.
Ah, well, that's a good way to experience them.
Yeah, I think that's... I mean, you don't really get much out of actually playing them beyond watching, so yeah. Peter, would you care to explain what this BAFTA live stream was?
Yes, so a couple of years ago now, it doesn't really feel like that, or in some ways it does. Feels like 2020 has been about 6 years long, but also 3 days long. We started our channel Vidiots at the Yogscast, and within like a couple of weeks of the channel being launched, the Yogscast, clearly, just broadly, the Yogscast umbrella, were invited to come and be commentators at the live stream BAFTA Video Game Awards event, where they were revealing the nominees for each category. They were probably hoping for Lewis Brinley or, you know, Simon Lane or someone like that. They got the Vidiots, who hadn't even established themselves. You know, even if they'd caught us at the end of that year, they probably still would have been disappointed. But we didn't
even... Yogscast were disappointed, so I don't think... BAFTA would have been thrilled.
So we turned up, Ben and I, feeling very nervous. We almost didn't say yes to it, actually. Obviously, it's a great opportunity, and what a thing to... I'd still say to people as a... When I'm playing Two Truths and a Lie, I say, I've been a BAFTA commentator on a live stream for the nominee reveal event. And people don't believe me, which is great. So we were very nervous about it, but we went along. And one of the reasons we were nervous about it is because they'd said that they couldn't tell us the names of the games until the day. So we couldn't even do research ahead of time and try and sort of find out about these games that we'd not played. Anyway, we got there. It was all quite cloak and dagger, and we were sort of locked in a room with pastries, and then we got given this piece of paper. Yeah. And, God, there were a lot of things on there that we'd not played. Mm-hmm. Neither of us had played Cuphead. That's in the question, purely because at the time it was a Microsoft exclusive. You had played Wolfenstein, hadn't you? And presumably you'd played Horizon. Yeah. I hadn't played either of those. Which, you know, what was I doing there in that room? I thought, like, this is ridiculous. But we got through it, and I mentioned the Nazi party. Well, not the Nazi party, but just...
I mean, by extension, yes.
Yeah, I mentioned Hitler and Nazis and said that it was fun to beat them down, even though I didn't actually do that.
Okay, is what the host said in that cadence. Okay.
I mean, she asked everyone on the panel about Wolfenstein. Yeah. And everyone had given their thoughts about it. Even I had given my fake thoughts about it. And I was the last person. And I was talking about, oh, yeah, it was great to do this and that. And I loved that bit. And then she still came back to me and said, anything else? After everyone had been avoiding mentioning Hitler or the word Nazi. Mm-hmm. And doing it very well and probably very easily because they don't have the verbal diarrhea that I do. And she just looked at me and said, yeah, anything else? And I said, oh, well, I just liked kicking Hitler and killing Nazis. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, if you're pro-Nazi, BAFTA, I'm sorry to step on your
That's
toes
it.
There.
But... BAFTA, pro-Nazi, confirmed. Yeah. And, you know, it created a moment that we've referenced for 2 years now, almost non-stop.
Yeah, that's the main takeaway from that event. But also just something we've also talked about once or twice before is if you go back and watch that VOD, just how terrified and propped up by wooden planks you and me look.
Oh, when... yeah, we're both... Our hands are just both in exactly the same position. We don't know what to do with ourselves.
When
really.
It fades in, we're just sitting at the desk like, what are we doing? We're live on BAFTA and we're sitting up really straight with our hands cupped on the desk in front of us in sort of smart casual shirts, I think.
It's like the meme of the dog, you know, wearing the lab coat.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Why are we here? It was ridiculous for many, many reasons, and I'm glad we got to do it.
Yeah.
But I think beyond maybe one appearance on a What Culture live stream very briefly when they were doing those right at the start, that was, I think, my first live stream experience was with BAFTA.
God, yeah, of course. I hadn't really thought about that.
So
I've done a couple of What Culture ones, but yeah.
Never really done anything live before. So that was quite a big, you know, leap into the pool with both feet kind of situation.
And there was a whole crew there, like, you know, since then when we've streamed, even done streams for companies and partners and stuff, it's always just us with like maybe a stream deck on our armchair, on the arm of our sofa. But they had like a director, they had like a couple of camera ops and people setting up mics for us. It was really strange and yeah it's
very
like anything,
very surreal, a lot more than we were used to working with, that's for sure. But yeah, to answer your first question, I have since played the majority of the big games there. I hadn't played, I think Assassin's Creed Origins was up for some stuff that year, and I hadn't played that because I, as documented on this podcast, I really don't give a flip about Assassin's Creed in general.
Yeah.
I've since played Cuphead. I think the majority of the games that we were missing, beyond some of the bigger ones that you hadn't played, were, there was a lot of indie and mobile games, like really innovative, interesting stuff that we just wouldn't have played. And I will say as well, we weren't alone.
The
other hosts, it was Alicia Judge from IGN and Tamor Hussein from GameSpot. They hadn't played those games either. So we were all sat there sort of Googling these things, but clearly they were far more familiar with being in this situation where they sort of had to, you know, be professional in a situation where they couldn't really admit that they had no idea what these games were, you know, without talking out their ass. And they were obviously consummate professionals and really so much more qualified than we were. We weren't alone in not having played some of the nominees. So we were all just sat there on our phones Googling and watching trailers just so we had a vague idea. Ended up not talking about a lot of those games anyway, but it was just to sort of be familiar with what on earth it was, you know.
And
then I stole a card
actually...
from BAFTA.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah, like
which
a gold
I didn't
leaf.
Realize I didn't realize we were not allowed to do that, and I put it in my bag and I took it home.
And we were also, we sort of were able to kind of veto talking about certain games. So like before we went in, we were all like, so has anyone got a game that they don't want to be asked about? Because, you know, maybe it's a game that they feel they should know, but don't. And so I think one or two, we were like, yeah, let's sort of gloss over that one, please. So it was all very well managed. And I think actually me and you did a pretty good job other than looking a bit like rabbits in the headlights at the at the start, or deer in the headlights, and the obvious line about the Nazis. But it went pretty well, I thought. I quite enjoyed it.
It did go pretty well.
Well, this has turned into a real big discussion, but we'll finally get to the answers of the questions.
Yeah.
I haven't yet played Cuphead. I wanted to get round to playing Cuphead, actually, when it was moving over. But then you played it before I got round to it, and you just sort of doubled down on, oh no, yeah, it is as hard as people say it is. And so I'm not in a rush to go and play it. I think I still will eventually when I get a window. But I've now got like 5 games that I want to play on PS5. And after that, the game that I want to move on to. In fact, I'll probably move on to it before I play Bugsnax and maybe even before I play Sackboy. is Horizon, which I've still not played. I was going to play it months ago. I got a copy of it for, it might have even been for my birthday, actually. I think it was. So that was during lockdown when I was back home with my family. So I couldn't play it there because I didn't have my PS4 set up. And then when I finally came back to Newcastle, I was going to play it. And then what I ended up doing was instead playing Spider-Man because I knew that the PS5 was coming out soon and that one of the games I would be playing would be Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. So, or before that, actually, no, I should say Crash 4 came out. So that's what happened. I was playing Crash 4. And then after that had come out, I was like, right, now I'll do Horizon. And I was like, oh, no, I better play Spider-Man now. So it's just been pushed to the back of the queue since, I mean, since I got it in April, but also before then as well. It was kind of, I was just playing other things, unfortunately. And it's something that I've looked at Horizon and thought, that's a game I know I would really enjoy. And so I'm really looking forward to playing that, but I still haven't, would you believe?
Oh, man. You'll find the time.
I will. It's, as I say, I think I'm going to play Assassin's Creed, get through Astro as well, and then I think before I play Bugsnax and Sackboy, I'll finally play Horizon. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've got all the... It's like the Ultimate Edition or whatever it's called with all the DLC, and I think that's one of the games that should run better if I play it in a PS5.
Yeah, I think it's getting a patch as well of some kind, so...
Yeah, and of course the sequel is coming out next year.
I guess. Supposedly. We'll see. Mm.
Yeah, we will. But so there we go. That's the big one that I still need to get around to playing. Nice. Wolfenstein I've still not played. I've still not kicked any Nazis, but it's not really my kind of thing. I'm not so into FPS, broadly speaking. I know I play Battlefront, but that's purely because it's a Star Wars game, let's face it. So yeah, I won't be playing Wolfenstein, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Yeah, very quickly, are there any other games that were really popular that you've never gotten around to playing?
I mean, I've talked about how I've played a little bit of The Witcher and didn't want to commit to it at the time, and yep. I will eventually. That's kind of the one that I think of the most.
Okay. Yeah,
what about cool. you? Have you got any others that you still want to play?
Yeah, it's largely this overlaps with the... I think we got a question either last week or the week before about games that we wanted to be good at. You know that we. So there is an overlap here. Sonic games, Mario games, largely Crash Bandicoot games. You know, they're all games I've dabbled with here and there, but never really sat down and played. And I just don't really feel the inclination to. But yeah, they're big games that I've just never really. Zelda as well, never really gotten into and played.
I was going to say Breath of the Wild was one of the nominees that year for like probably best game of the year, I suspect. And I've not yet played that, and I probably never will because I don't have a personal Switch. We've got an office Switch,
we do have an office Switch,
but I don't even sort of necessarily want to start fanning around with another console, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So as good as that game looks to be, and I know it's highly acclaimed game of the year for most people at the time, it's just too much for me to commit to. I've got commitment issues, so
fair enough. Well, Peter, it's time to move on to a discussion of a large size.
Yeah.
I think, oh God, there it is. I think it's called The Big Discussion.
The Big Discussion.
It's Big Discussion time. Welcome to The Big Discussion. This Big Discussion comes from Sputnik, who says, next generation consoles are finally here, and it seems like they have both been released in beta stage of development. With features not yet available, like additional PS5 game storage and a very long list of software bugs and issues, it seems both Microsoft and Sony may have bitten off more than they could chew. Do you think they should have delayed the release of the consoles in order to fix these problems? Do you believe these bugs and issues are the price for being an earlier adopter? Some of the more interesting bugs I've read online include PS5 not charging DualSense controller through the front USB ports, Xbox Series X not being compatible with certain high-end TVs due to HDMI coding issues, PS5 uninstalling games if you eject the disc after installation, Xbox HDR game capture is way too dark, PS4 games with PS5 upgrades run in PS4 mode by default, both consoles are having issues with third-party apps, I think that's meant to say, which ran fine on the older consoles but not the newer ones, and the PS5, which seems to have some issues with download queuing, and the only resolution seems to be a factory reset.
I mean, we should say that I think those are issues that are being reported by some people. These aren't issues that every PS5 or Xbox Series X is suffering from. I mean, well, some of those probably are. You know, for example, the Xbox capture is probably way too dark on everyone's console, for example. But, you know, my PS5 isn't uninstalling games when I eject the disc. You know,
meaning.
As an example there. I think I wouldn't have minded a delay insofar as before the announcement. So, like, I really hate it when things get announced and then they get pushed back from the date that we've been given. And I think if they'd done that, that would have been really disappointing in this, the year of disappointment and sadness and pain. obviously in more serious issues than, oh, my console's not coming out, but just broadly speaking, 2020's not been great, so that wouldn't have been good. Lots of games have been getting pushed back as well because of C-virus affecting development, so it would have just been a really depressing thing if we'd got a date and then there'd been a pushback on that. But if they'd known ahead of time, oh, we're going to need more time than this, and they'd chosen to delay it. And if I'd not got my PS5 this year, you know, if I'd got it early next year, for example, I think I would have been okay with that. Like, you know, I wouldn't have known any better. Did it, like, in a parallel universe, I would have got it in November. I think it's, like, always worth holding things back and releasing them at their best possible quality. And even things like, aside from all these, like, outright bugs that need fixing and proper issues, there's also just, like, quality of life touches that I'm really looking forward to hopefully getting patched in eventually to the PS5. Like, you can't use folders yet. You know, you can't, like, organize your, customize your home screen as much as I would like to. There's no themes. I don't mind that there's no themes yet, but that's something that's an example of something that's coming later. And I kind of feel like surely they could have just, you know, he hung on to it, really, and wait until that was all ready. I guess, of course, the argument is that it's best to have consoles and video games themselves as well released around this time of year so that you can get big Christmas sales. But then on the other hand, all the consoles have sold out anyway, so I kind of feel like it doesn't really make a difference because you can't buy one for Christmas now unless you're really lucky. So that's all much of a muchness. Like, it doesn't really matter that it's holiday time. I think broadly speaking, I think it's always worth, like, hanging fire and releasing something when it's ready. And as long as they didn't do it after announcing the date, I would probably be in favor of them just making sure everything works properly.
So I think that it's, you know, it sucks when this stuff happens, you know, if you're having problems with your new console and things like that. As you said, in terms of, widespread issues, it's probably very few people that this is affecting. And the fact that it's so amplified and everyone's able to hear it and see it is because this kind of stuff always happens at a launch of something new. There's big internet clicks in reporting things going wrong. So that's not to say that they aren't going wrong, but it is, you know, unless there's a red ring of death style of issue, we won't be hearing anywhere near as much about these problems, I imagine, in a few months' time. It's just because, you know, it's the new thing. Very few people can get it, and reporting doom and gloom, where it's like, oh, okay, there's 10,000 of these things in the wild. Everybody wants one, and it's uninstalling games when you eject the disc. You know, that's going to make for big news, even if it's only one person reporting it, you know?
Yeah.
So these things are probably being taken largely, not out of context, but I think they're probably being blown out of proportion, perhaps a little bit. But Sputnik is right in that I do think early adopters do have to go through this kind of stuff with everything that they adopt early. Very few pieces of kit this advanced and complicated are perfect out of the box. They'll be iterated on and changed through firmware updates and component adjustments in the new models. I don't think they should have delayed over this because, as I just said, that stuff always happens. You know, they're never going to know exactly what everyone needs and exactly how specifically these small things can go wrong until they're in tens of thousands of households across the country. There's only so much testing that can be done in a lab or in a, you know, in a workspace environment, a workplace environment, sorry, you don't know how it's going to survive in a home with a family of six and four, you know, four kids, maybe some, you know, toddlers or whatever poking things into the vent holes. You know, you don't know until it's out there and it's doing stuff. So, yeah, while early adopters do have to face the brunt of that, and to an extent that's really frustrating, neither you or I have had any issues personally.
Mm.
And these things, you know, as you say, with the themes and stuff, that's stuff that I would like to have, folders I would like to have. There's definitely quality of life adjustments that can be made. But as it stands, I'd rather have the console now than wait a few months for this stuff to be ready. And, you know, as a multi-billion dollar company, they all the manufacturers want their stuff out before Christmas. So I don't think it should have been delayed, because we would have run into different issues, but still exactly the same kind of problems, regardless of when it released.
Yeah, that's
it's only with
true.
The benefit of hindsight that we're saying, you know, that someone could say, well, I wish it had delayed 2 months so they could fix this stuff, because it would be other stuff that we'd be complaining about when it came out, if that was the case.
Yeah, I think you're probably right when you put it like that. Yeah, I certainly wouldn't delay it for the quality of life stuff in terms of themes and folders and stuff like that. That's just something that'll come in time. I'm sure of that. But I agree in terms of early adoption, you know, irrespective of whether or not they should have delayed it, I think whether it came out in November or next year or summer 2020, I think if you are an early adopter, if you get hardware or software early on in its release, this is going to happen. It's exactly the same with getting video games nowadays. These things, they get released, and as you say, issues are identified when the sample size explodes into, you know, the thousands or the tens of thousands or the millions eventually. Mm-hmm. Compared to, you know, maybe dozens or hundreds of QA testers. That's just how statistics work. The more of them you get out there, the more likely you are to find issues like that and run into problems under, as you say, sort of certain circumstances that maybe they've not tested, you know, little combinations of things that are going to cause problems. So yeah, if you're an early adopter, you have to kind of take that. And as much as it's very easy to go, oh, well, do you remember back in the day when, you know, the PS1, there was no such thing as a patch or like a firmware update, so they had to make sure it was right. It's like, well, yeah, that's true. But equally, it was a far less complex piece of kit. I know at the time it was cutting edge. I'm not suggesting that they were resting on their laurels. So it was complex comparatively. But equally, there's only so much that goes into a game or a console in the 90s compared to what you have now. And you've got network issues now and things like that that they didn't have to worry about back then. So it's kind of a cliche to say, oh, I remember the good old days where there was no such thing as a patch and they had to release games properly, or indeed hardware properly. And it's like, well, yeah, it's not really, it's apples and oranges, really.
It is. And when you adjust it, as you say, the complexity, comparatively, the issues that persist in some of those games, in your Spyros, in your Crash Bandicoots and stuff, by today's standards, those were probably, I mean, we weren't aware of them at the time, but, you know, there's lots of, for example, the speedrunning hacks in Spyro, you know, where you can get to areas you shouldn't and stuff like that. Bearing in mind that they weren't dealing with you know, net code issues and ways people could hack into online servers. When you compare the levels of complexity of the hardware and the software, those are still quite big, glaring issues. It's just, we don't see them as that big of a deal because we didn't identify them at the time, probably.
Yeah.
So issues were still there. You know, what was it? It wasn't Soul Calibur. It was Mortal Kombat Gold for the Sega Dreamcast. It had to be re-released because there was a huge issue with it. I can't remember specifically what it was. I looked at it in the launch video, but I think it was so broken that they had to re-release a second version.
Right.
To sort of rectify those issues. I think it was that. There was also a racing game as well, that the European version after the Japanese launch had the driving controls fixed because they were so bad.
Right.
So that stuff did used to happen as well.
Yeah.
It's I think it's just always been like this. Again, it goes back to the question we had of, you know, how can we change pre-orders? Could Sony and Microsoft have done more, you know, more to curb scalpers this time around?
Mm.
It's like, honestly, I don't know what more they can do. You know, what can they do? It has always been like this. We're very aware of it now because of COVID and we're all stuck at home and everyone wants a distraction. But it has always been like this to some extent, and it's not great, but I think it's just how it be. That.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. So all we can do now is wait for these issues to be identified, which they are being, and that's essentially it's just part of the process nowadays, really. Slowly but surely, things will start to be fixed in patches.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Cross those fingers. And we will see. Peter,
yes.
If people want to let us know what they thought of today's episode and maybe find some more stuff from us, where would they go and what would they do?
They can go to YouTube and Twitch for all our content, where we do videos and streams. That's youtube.com and twitch.tv, both /TeamTripleJump. When we're streaming, we're modded by Lord Brotovich, Cecil Prumps, Mads Didactyl, and Trowling Badger. We've got social media, twitter.com and facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. Luke Eldon looks after Facebook. Thank you, Luke. We've got a Patreon, of course, as has already been mentioned in this podcast. Lots of rewards there, including early worst games ever, exclusive merch. We do a chat with our patrons once a month. And of course, you can ask questions on this very podcast. That's patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. Discord is bit.ly/TeamTripleJump. That's modded by Jack and Joe. If you're watching the podcast on YouTube right now, the audio version is available at play.acast.com/s/TripleJump and all of your podcast purveyors of choice as well. The website is triplej.mup. If you go to triplej.mup/shop, that's where all our merch is available right now. And triplej.mup/VODs is a link to our VODs channel on YouTube. And Pat Fenn is continuing to edit weekly highlights, and they are wonderful. And of course, all of our VODs themselves, unedited, end up on that channel as well. triplej.mup, that's JU.MP.
Fantastic. You can follow Peter on Instagram and Twitter at @ThatPeterAustin. And on Twitter, just me, what? And just me on Twitter, not Instagram, is what I've done. Wow, the words all went squiggledy-wiggledy there.
Squiggledy-wiggles.
@confused_dude lists. We do those every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. Thursday being the joint stream, Blaze It on YouTube. Monday, Friday, and Sunday being the solo streams on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly. Friday for patrons, Sunday for everyone else. Podcast, we do that every Saturday, and shows, we do one every other week, and we dot them in around and so on. Please leave a review on iTunes or your platform of choice. It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. This week, it is a Worst Games Ever week.
Mm.
We hope you enjoyed it, patrons. Everybody else, it'll be out tomorrow. We did several Quip Scopes. We did one on Astro's Playroom, Demon Souls, and Spider-Man Miles Morales. So if you want more information on what we thought of those, you can go watch those now. PS5 streams will pretty much be dominating our streaming lineup from next week. I think you're going to start Spidey.
I am. I finished Crash Bandicoot 4 on stream this week. I thought about going straight to PS5 now that it's out, but I was like, I can't very well. If I've only got literally one stream's worth left of Crash 4, I've got to finish it. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I'll probably stream Spidey. I think so.
Fantastic. So Peter will be streaming Spidey. I'll be continuing to stream Demon's Souls on Friday. And on Sunday, Andrew from Cultaholic will be continuing to stream for us. He'll be streaming Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I believe, also on PS5.
Yeah.
So lots of next-gen streams coming. I think we'll still be playing Aliens Colonial Marines on our joint stream, so look forward to that on Thursday. And also this week was a sleepover stream, so we hope you enjoyed that. If you came along live on YouTube, the VOD will be up very soon, if not already. And we also chatted to our patrons of a certain tier on Discord. We do a monthly Discord call where you can phone in and ask some questions and we'll chat with you for a bit. So please do consider supporting us at that tier if you can. We'd love to talk to you.
Mm. We would. That's absolutely right. Leaves just enough time, of course, for Ben to read this week's sponsor once again before we have to go.
We are sponsored by Little Big Black... Oh, God. I think I need to go have a drink of water.
Yeah.
A Little Big Planet Fitness. We're sponsored by Little Big Planet Fitness.
Planet Fitness.
Where you can go and do some fitness in the gymnasium. And depending on your height, you'll have equipment that's better suited to you and your needs.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's true. It's real.
That's the end there.
That's
okay.
A real one there. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We will speak to you again next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.